Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cub Chat Live. Anthony, I want to give a special recognition to Patricia, who I think had one of the earliest comments we've ever had. Patricia, right. It's so good to see you. 5 minutes before the show started, it's so great to see you, Patricia. Welcome to Cub Chat Live. Hey, Rich, good to see you. Rusty, good to see you. D-Dunk, good to see you as well. Anthony, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Today's show, we're talking about some of the Cub Scout requirements that I'd be honest with you, I didn't realize this. They're actually kind of designed to be completed at home. They are great activities to do at home with parents. Anthony, just give us an idea of, you know, what those activities are and what's the purpose of having some that are designed to be able to be done at home.
Yeah. So we talked about methods of Cub Scouting. In this episode, we're talking about one of the methods of Cub Scouting is family involvement. And so when we were doing the research behind the program updates, we did a deep dive into this. We asked parents and leaders about what kind of activities and events how do they deliver some of these adventures. And what came back was there are some adventures and activities that they don't do in a den. They kind of give it as a at-home assignment. And so we leaned into that. And so we did, when we looked at creating some of the required adventures and the requirements for those, we wanted to make sure it was something that really was engaging and involving for the family. So the reason why we have them is because it's a method of Cub Scouting, is family involvement.
And not all the requirements are like this, but some of them are. One thing that we've learned over the years, Anthony, is that, you know, families are looking for things to do together. They're looking for ideas. They're looking for activities. These requirements are great. Not only are they fun, cool, engaging to do with your kids and with parents, you can also check off some requirements while you're at it. So it kind of takes care of both of those things. Let's dive into the details, Anthony. What are some of the specific requirements that we're talking about that are designed to be completed at home?
Yeah, so we'll start off with Bobcat, because Bobcat is supposed to be the first. It's designed, and when we say that, we want to make sure we don't, you know, people don't go a little overboard. It's designed to be the first required adventure that you do as a den. And most of that is because, and we've had Cub Chat Lives about this in the past, it's because, you know, you're building a sense of team, you know, get to know each other, members of the den. And so that those are kind of good things to do on the get-go. But since it is one of the first required adventures, one of the requirements of that adventure is to complete the activities that are in the How to Protect Your Children from Child Abuse, a parent's guide, that booklet that is part of every Cub Scout handbook. And we've got some feedback from folks that say, well, these things are repetitive. We did this last year. Well, that's by design. It's really important to have some of these conversations, especially those activities that are in that booklet, to be done every year, right? So it may not be as long of a conversation as the first time you've had that. But for example, one of the activities is to talk to your child about developing a list of 5 trusted adults, right? Now, that list could change from year to year. Right? You would expect that list of 5 trusted adults may change from the time that they're a lion to the time that they're a fourth grade weeblo. So having that conversation, again, once you have that first initial conversation, you may not have to, it may not be as long, or the activity may not take as long. It might just be more of a review. Repetition is good, especially when we're talking about the safety of our children. It's really good to make sure that that conversation is continual and it's open, and it's something that is visited at least once a year. It should probably be more if you can, but at least once a year. So that's a good example of one that's very specific in Bobcat. But then we also have the safety adventures, and then we have the family and reverence adventures, right? And family and reverence kind of has it in the name. I think we have a Cub Chat Live that we're going to do specifically about family reverence adventures. So I won't do too much of a deep dive in that, but you know, family's in the name, and that's really why we developed that adventure. We got a lot of feedback from folks that said, you know, we believe in reverence. That's a tenet of the Scout Law, and we do that, but we really want that to be done at home. And we actually do that at home. And the vast majority of den leaders said, hey, we don't do this as a den meeting. We kind of make it an at-home assignment. So we did lean into that. So you see the requirements very focused on family conversations. The safety adventures that are part of all the required adventures too, those are important conversations and important activities for parents to be doing, or legal guardians to be doing, with Cub Scouts as well. So just like that first example in Bobcat we talked about, These are also, some of them are repetitive and we know that, and that's okay, right? We want to keep kids safe, and kind of that first time you do it may take a little bit longer. The second time you do it, you may not have to take as long. It might be a little bit more of a refresher.
Yeah, I certainly don't claim to be an expert, Anthony, myself, in protecting children from abuse and things like that. But, you know, the BSA over the last few years has enlisted the help of people who are experts. We've got some of them on our staff. We've got a lot of them on our volunteers. And that's one of the things that comes up. Having regular conversations with your children is critical. And so that's all this is. It's kind of a guide, right, to sort of get that conversation started. Yeah, you do it every year, as you should be doing, right?
Yeah, and we do work with, and you're right, I'm not a subject matter expert, right?
Right.
I certainly would say that we're in the field, right? We're both in the field of keeping kids safe, and we know a lot, probably more than the average person does. However, you know, if you think about it, if you weren't in scouting, right, what age would you do this? At what age would you talk to your kids at this? And what would prompt you to do that, right? And unfortunately, in some cases, it would be after something has already happened, right? And that's very reactive. We're trying to be very proactive in this. And we do work with experts in this field that kind of let us know, hey, this is the right time to talk about this subject to your children. And here's a good way to do it. And here's a preferred method of doing that. So, for example, the protect yourself rules that are part of the safety adventures, that is something that we branded with the Barbara Sinatra Children's Foundation. They are like world renowned experts when it comes to this topic, and especially a topic that you try when we're talking about child abuse, right? That's such a heavy topic. How do we present this to first and second graders where it's not using a fear tactic, but rather we're empowering them, right? And so that they can feel confident in knowing what to do, how to spot it, those types of things that we're empowering kids to do in Cub Scouting. It's hard, right? And it's much more effective when you're empowering them than when you're using some kind of scare tactic.
And the way I look at it, Anthony, you know, just like going camping, just like going fishing, just like going for a walk, just like doing community service. These are things that are helpful and healthy for children and families, right? These are just what what we know make families stronger and kids healthier and become stronger, healthier leaders as adults. I've got a few more shout outs real quick. Aaron from PAC 3130 in Greenville, Michigan, Minnesota. I'm so bad with my Mississippi. I'm so bad with my abbreviations.
Michigan's MS, isn't it?
What do you think? Michigan?
Yeah. I think it's Michigan.
Sorry, Aaron. I should know this. Let me know.
We should Google this.
You're right. It's not Mississippi. I think it's Michigan because Minnesota would be MN. Shout out to Justin from PAC 21 in Champaign, Illinois. I know where that is. Douglas from Akron, Ohio. Good to see you. Jenna from Butler, Pennsylvania. Steve. Jay, good to see DJ from right down the road in Irving. All of our good friends are here. John, Emma, good to see you guys. Rob from Prosper right down the road, good to see you as well. Okay, so we're talking today, guys, about Cub Scout requirements that are kind of designed to be done at home with parents and I guess maybe siblings in some cases if that's appropriate. Anthony, how do we know which requirements are designed to be done at home?
Well, so some of them are obvious, right? So if it says, you know, have a fire escape plan for where you live, you kind of have to do that home, right? So sometimes there's a requirement that it is embedded. It's implied that, you know, that's something that you would do at home. However, we did call this out in each of the handbooks. So there's a chapter in every handbook that is called Essential Cub Scout Family Activities, where we specifically call out those requirements that are really designed to be done at home. Now, we do not just for the required adventures, because you can kind of really go down a rabbit hole if you start talking about which elective adventures and requirements and elective adventures could be done at home, which should be done at den. So we don't go down that path, but we do call out for the required adventures because we know everyone is going to be doing required adventures, which of these requirements should be or have to be done at home. And so in each handbook, it's called Essential Cub Scout Family Activities. In the Lion and Tiger Adult Partner Guides, it's in there. And it's funny because when we first came out with those books, we had some folks that were chatting and said, they're missing the requirements for a bobcat and not realizing that. No, we're just calling out the activities and requirements for Bobcat that should be done at home. And then later in the book, there is the full length of all the requirements for Bobcat and the safety adventures and the family and reverence adventures, which are really the three adventures, the required adventures across all the ranks, in which there's a heavy concentration of things that are done at home.
DJ points out that children's understanding of different subjects grow as they mature, a good reason to have these conversations at least once a year, right? Yes. Aaron confirms MI is Michigan. Michigan.
Yes, yes, we got it right.
I think that's what you said, yes. Shout out to Scouter Craig from PAC 3256 in Kent, Ohio. I know what that is. Thank you for tuning in, Scouter Craig. We appreciate it. Anthony, so we talk about requirements that are designed to be done at home. Can a Cub Scout do these requirements at a PAC meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. And so just because, and that's why we use that language, right? Designed to be, right? You know, Bobcat's designed to be the first required adventure. It's not, doesn't have to be, but ideally that's the way we see that progression happening. Can these be done in a den or a PAC meeting? Yes, they absolutely can be. But what we do recommend and to get the full impact of it is to have the parents and legal guardians with their kids at that meeting in which you're going to cover that subject, right? So once again, you're going to have this experience of parents who they never even thought about talking to their first grader about this, right? And for some, they don't want to because it's uncomfortable, right? And this is, as a leader in Cub Scouting, you kind of have to coach those parents and let them know, no, they, first of all, schools are addressing this in their schools. And this is a conversation that you do want to have with your child. And we are presenting it in a way that is not scary. It's in a way that we want to empower your child to know and recognize ways of someone who could be hurt, like hurting them or have the intention of hurting them. And then if they think something is going wrong, what do? Who do they contact? Because we know people who abuse children, they have to use a shroud of secrecy, right? They have to keep that secret and they have to keep that. And the best way that we empower children is to let them know, no, if you think or feel that someone's doing something that is hurting you or is wrong, tell someone, right? And that breaks that secrecy. And that is one of the most powerful tools that we have to protect our kids is by empowering them and knowing about these things. So it is. It's very important to have these conversations. And you as a Cub Scout leader, have that conversation with those with parents who might be a little unsure or a little uncomfortable about that topic. And overall, so we do survey this, right? We do, as most things, we do look at our data and research and we want to see how we're doing on certain things. So I will tell you that not 100%, we're never going to have 100% of parents agree that this topic should be covered or they're comfortable with it. But I can tell you that we trend about 90% of our parents want this topic. They do appreciate it. They do value it. They think it's important. And they value the videos of the Protect Yourself rules and the content and how it's being delivered. So, yes, you're going to come across that 10%, right? That aren't going to be satisfied with that, aren't going to be happy with that. They're going to try to argue with you, and that's fine. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we don't want to apologize for trying to do what is best to protect our kids and being proactive and not waiting for something to happen and then discuss it.
Shout out to Mark, who's coming from PAC 86 and PAC 94 in Atchison, Kansas, KS. See, I know that abbreviation, Anthony. Michael has a question, actually. And Michael, believe it or not, we're going to actually pause Michael's question because I want to ask Anthony one more question. But Michael, we're going to get to your question in just a second. Anthony says hello to Aaron and a shout out to behind the scenes Brian, which is very, very well deserved. Really, really good to see that. Anthony, you mentioned that some parents might have some concerns or some issues. As a matter of fact, there may be some in our comments right now, which is totally fine. Back in my day, when I was a Cub Master, you were a covering Cub Master as well. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. The program has evolved over the years, but this handbook was still around, the How to Protect Your Children from Child Abuse. This is something that I often would bring up to my parents in like a parent-only meeting. I'm curious your thoughts on that. Would you recommend, is that a good idea, do you think, for folks to have a discussion with parents only about this topic?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I think that's something that's good. And again, so that we can take a topic that for most can be very uncomfortable and we can empower parents. Just as we're empowering our Cub Scouts, we can empower parents. And that's a very big difference between having some kind of scare tactic, right? So you could package this with, hey, by the way, here are all the things, or here are the things that we want you or expect you as a parent or a legal guardian to be doing with your Cub Scout while they're at home, right? And it's not just a requirement. It could also be, look, we are a partner with you, right? You want the same thing. We know that parents join or have their kids join Cub Scouting for several reasons, but one of the big reasons is they do want character development. That is something that they value. And so we can very much be a partner in that. And so parents should know, not just leaders, but parents should know the Scout Oath and Scout Law. And then they should be encouraged in a meeting to say, hey, look for ways to reinforce these values so that when you see your child display them, that you can give that positive reinforcement to that behavior. Like when you see your child being friendly to someone, when you see your child being courteous, you know that, and you can directly tie that to, hey, that's great. That is exactly the kind of behavior that a Cub Scout does. I'm very proud of you, proud of the way that you displayed that point in the Scout Law or the Scout Oath. That's huge, right? That is huge when we can take the values of the Scout Oath and Scout Law and bring them in home, and parents are reinforcing that. It's being reinforced in den and pack meetings. That's a huge impact.
Shout out to Michael. I can't tell what channel Michael's watching on, but the question that he posted is exactly the next question I'm going to ask. Anthony, if Cub Scouts do these requirements at home, how does a den leader know that they've completed it or checked on it? Michael asks for clarification. Do parents have the ability to check off requirements in Scout Book Plus? Great questions, I think. Anthony, your thoughts?
They are great questions. So I will tell you what the philosophy is, and I cannot speak to the IT part of it exactly, because I believe that these are the mechanics do work, and that's the way that we've asked them to program it. But yes, the short answer is yes. Parents can sign off on any of their Cub Scout adventures or activities, and that has always been, and we believe this should always be. That's because, again, a method of Cub Scouting is family involvement, and several decades ago. It was funny because the philosophy of the Cub Scout program was that all advancement was done at home. In fact, that den and pack meetings were not supposed to be covering any requirements. In fact, it was all supposed to be done at home. So, this is a shift from that kind of philosophy. We studied packs that were really successful. And what we discovered is that they all had the same thing in common. They all did advancement in den and pack meetings. And so that's why you saw this shift a couple of decades ago absolutely. That's what den meetings and pack meetings should be for. They should be centered around advancement. And then we find ways to incorporate the home into that advancement. And so, yes, absolutely. Parents can sign off on that. You should have the ability to do that in Scoutbook if your parents are connected to their Cub Scout and Scoutbook or the Scouting app. You can check off on that, and then that way the den leader can know that that was something that was done at home. It could be as simple as just sending a text message to the den leader. Hey, by the way, sorry, we either missed this meeting or, I chose to watch these videos at home with my child. The Protect Yourself Rules videos, for example, we watched them together as a family, or, I wanted to watch it with them and have that conversation as a family, or not in a den situation. Whatever their rationale is fine. That's great. But once a parent has said that their child has completed a requirement for any of the adventures, that's it, right? Do not. This is where we see some chat on Facebook, and there's nothing good comes of a den leader or a cub master, right? Challenging the parent and saying, well, you're lying. Oh, you didn't really do that at home. And questioning whether that was done, right? At the end of the day, right? If the parent says they did it, they did it. Now, if you feel compelled that you want to review something that was an at-home activity with your den and pack, absolutely, right? But but you can't keep it from them. In other words, you can't say, well, since you didn't do the advancement or the requirement in the den meeting, we're not going to count it. That's not very productive at all.
Right, exactly. And it's a difference between Cub Scouts and the older programs. In Scouts BSA, I learned one time that, you know, you're not allowed to sign off requirements for your own kid. It's a different culture. It's a different attitude, right? They're older. The Cub Scout motto is do your best. Yeah, so let's just address that real quick. The appropriate response when a parent either checks off a requirement themselves or tells a leader that their child has completed a requirement, the appropriate response from the den leader or the Cub Master or whoever, advancement coordinator, is to say, got it. Just confirm that it's in the system. And that's basically it. Am I right?
Yep. Yep. That's, I mean, that you're right. That's absolutely it. And again, if it's a topic that is a skill development or something that might be later on to another activity, absolutely review with the den, right? And just because the child can't remember how they did it in the den meeting from when they did it at home, doesn't mean that they didn't do it at home, right? Sometimes you're talking about second graders and third graders, right? They can't remember, you know, to put their shoes away, right? Don't think that because the child can't recall information that the parent said that they did at home is any indication that they didn't do it at home, right? So again, for some of these things, absolutely a little review at the den meeting or PAC meeting is probably fine, but don't hold that as, you know, you have to do it in front of the leader and hold that strictness to it. That's not really the mission there. I would say, as we're talking about this, that yes, you can do some adventures with your family, right? And that's certainly encouraged. But have a conversation before you start working on adventures with your Cub Scout pack, right? And have a conversation, because I know that as a recovering Cub Master, we kind of talked about this, was how many adventures can you do in which the pack is going to provide the adventure for that, right? The recognition for that, right? So if we budgeted 10 adventures for each Cub Scout, right, it really breaks the bank if everyone goes out and does 20, right? And so having that conversation ahead of time, right? And also as a parent, realizing that the pack does have a budget, right? They don't have unlimited funds. They don't have an unlimited supply of adventures. They have to buy them. That maybe there's an agreement that after so many adventures, then the parent is responsible for buying the adventure and it will be presented at the den or pack meeting or wherever it might be, if it's something that was done at home.
Yeah, I think when it comes to doing these types of things at home, you know, what we're really doing is we're sort of building habits. We're developing character and decision-making, leadership skills, not necessarily memorization skills right at this age. Right. Shout out to Tiffany from PAC 39 in Colorado, Stephen from Wrentham, Massachusetts. I know what MA stands for, Anthony. and again, we're talking today about requirements that are designed to be completed at home. Anthony kind of hinted at this a second ago. One extra question I might have for Anthony today is, you know, if your child is sick and misses a den meeting in which the other kids are completing requirements, obviously you're allowed to do those requirements at home too as well, right? To make up for that, that's encouraged.
Yes, absolutely. Right. And again, we want everyone to have a positive experience. Right. So this is a different philosophy than some other programs that your child might be involved in. Right. So, and I don't want to say I'm going to pick on sports, but sports is sometimes a good example. As they get older, right, the coach may say, well, if you miss practice, then you can't play in the game. Right. That's not Cub Scouting. That's not what we're about. Right. So you do want to be accommodating. Especially if a child's sick, right? That's a no-brainer. But what if they do have to make a decision between, hey, look, if I don't go to practice or if I don't play in this game, I can't participate later down the road. Yeah, be accommodating with them. Talk to the parents. Say, hey, this is what we plan to do at the den or pack meeting that they're going to miss. And here's, you can do this at home. If you need some help or coaching from me, let me know. Here's some resources, right? That's the great thing about the den meeting resources being online on scouting.org. The parents can see it, right? So you can easily just email that link to that adventure or even that specific activity that you were going to do, and boom, the parent can see right there. Okay. That's how I do this, right? This is how we can do this at home. So it really makes it accessible by providing those resources on scouting.org, and it's open source. You don't need a username and password. And that's partly that design, right? To make it easier for parents to help out for a den meeting, but also if you missed a meeting, here you go. Here's what we did.
We have somebody watching from Lancaster, California. First name Troop. Last name 391, Troop 391. That's fine. I love it. Welcome, Troop. We're glad to have you watching here.
What a coincidence.
So yeah, exactly. It's amazing, right? And Anthony, you kind of hinted at this, but if you're at home and you're looking for something to do with your child on a weekend or when random weeknight, certainly you can look into some of the Cub Scout requirements or electives or whatever they are. Maybe a good idea to check with your DIN meter, right? A DIN leader and Cub Master to see what they have planned. You might end up, you know, repeating something, which wouldn't be the end of the world, right?
Right.
When I was a DIN leader, I never came up with a plan at the last minute. I, of course, always
had. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Years out. Years out. Exactly, when my child was born, I already had my DIN meetings.
Already had them all worked out for the entire year. But yeah, maybe check and see with your DIN leader. We have one question here, Kim. This is a little bit off topic, Anthony.
No, yeah,
you might not have the answer here, but you mentioned the online DIN leader resources. Kim is asking about visuals and images of the projects. Any plans to add visuals and images to the online DIN leader resource, Anthony?
Yeah, we are. We're in that process again. We're kind of building this as we go, and we see this as a project that will never be complete. It'll just be continually just improved as we roll it out. We want to make sure we have the minimum resources needed. So you'll find that if there's a worksheet or like a crossword puzzle or something like that, those are there as a resource. We don't have the photos and of all the projects yet. We're looking at probably doing a campaign by the end of this year, again, because this is the first year that we did it. So that we're looking for that kind of crowdsourcing information. You'll probably see us do a campaign or announcement looking for those things probably in the spring of next year is when we're kind of looking at doing something like that, where we're constantly improving and providing those resources. So yeah, because we're a big believer in video and visual aids and tools, because seeing the picture of a completed project is worth like 10 pages of instructions, as you probably well know, right?
Yep.
But I will also call out, so we've had a handful, literally just a handful of these, but on every page now, on the left-hand side, you'll see a little box that says feedback, and we are looking at those. So please make sure to use that. You can give us a quick little rating of that adventure or activity. You can give us a quick little feedback about that. Or if you find an error or a mistake, like, for example, we've had about four that have been noticed since we launched that the link for that resource, that PDF file or the crossword puzzle or whatever it was missing. Well, we just didn't link it up. We had 1,500 pages. And so if we missed five, I think that's a pretty good ratio. We're not perfect, but we do want to know when it happens. And so we've been able to fix those errors when they've been reported to us within about 12 hours. And if you can give us, you know, on the weekend, maybe 12 hours, but it's usually one of the things that when we get that report, we get an instant email. We kind of stop what we're doing. We go there, we fix it, and then we post it. So you can see that we're trying to be as quick and responsive as we can when we do find those errors. And then lastly, on that same thing, is if you want to provide more detailed feedback about your experience with an adventure, we'd love to hear that too. If you got ideas of different activities you did to complete the adventure or a requirement, I should say, we'd love to hear that too. So there's a more lengthy survey that is part of that feedback loop as well. So there's really three ways to give us that feedback, right? Real quick, happy face, sad face, middle face. You can tell us, hey, there's something wrong here. There's an error here. Or you can give us a little bit more detail of your experience. And we use all of that to help make sure that the program is continuously being improved.
Awesome. D Dunk, who's watching on YouTube, says he's off to the bus stop. Thank you for your work and the great discussion. Thank you for watching, D Dunk. Have a safe ride to wherever it is that you're going. Anthony, this has been a great discussion. Want to remind everybody that Cub Chat Live is a podcast now. That's right. We're a podcast. You can listen on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you like to get your podcasts from. Anthony, any closing thoughts before we let you go on Cub Scout requirements that can be completed at home?
No, not on that topic, but I will say that, hey, we love it when you tag people in the comments, someone that after you've seen this, that needs to hear this or needs to see this, we get lots of views after we're live. And so, and that is partly because of you, your viewer. If you're watching this right now, even if you're watching it recorded, don't be shy, tag a friend, tag people in your pack so that they can watch this episode. If this is something that you're dealing with in your pack right now, or a conversation that you want your pack leadership to have, make sure to tag them in this post. So then that way we can expand our coverage and get more people getting what I like to say the maximum benefit out of our program.
Yeah, it was really cool. A few months ago, Anthony listed like safe, verified places you can go to get information about Cub Scouts. And this is one of them. You can go here, tag your friends. I agree. Rob just did it. Rob just tagged some of his friends. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. And before we go, quick shout out to Pack 140 from Elk City, Oklahoma. Troop 391 says so far they love the changes. Thank you, Troop 391. We appreciate that. As usual, Anthony, an excellent discussion. We hope everyone enjoyed the show. Once we're done here, this video will still be here. So don't stop tagging friends just because we stop talking. You can continue doing that. Great job, Anthony. Great job to all of you watching from home. Enjoy the weekend. Anthony, you enjoy your weekend especially.
You too. We'll happy November. Next week.
Yeah, happy November. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode. Same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ratecubchat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/cubchatlive for all our past video episodes. You can see us live. Except it's recorded. But it was live. Okay, see you next week.